When Millie invited me to be with you all this morning on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I think she forgot that I was actually a shepherd. Not of the pastoral kind, though I've done some of that too. I actually spent 10 years of my life tending to a small flock of sheep on some land out in the Riceville area. However, I must confess that I am probably in that barely okay, almost good enough shepherd category, a very far cry from Jesus. About 25 years ago, a combination of my family and my wife's family bought some land together that was a working sheep farm. And the previous owners asked us if we would keep a couple of the sheep, and we did. Pretty soon, we added a whole flock of Shetland sheep, which, as you may know, are very well known for their very fine wool that come in all sorts of different natural colors. Spinners and weavers love to work with Shetland wool. Of course, before they can, the sheep have to be sheared. So I set out to learn how to shear, although my sheep will probably tell you I never did. I learned this from this amazing person, a professional sheep shearer who traveled the world plying his trade and then would offer these occasional workshops. If you've never seen it, the transformation that takes place in a sheep shearing is astounding, especially with Shetlands. They arrive in the barn, large and robust, with these flowing locks of wool. And then they leave, these tiny, appearingly naked, and very confused creatures, who literally, once you release them, dart to the far corners of the pasture to try to reorient, to collect themselves, and to make sense of what just happened. The change is so dramatic that the sheep, mind you, who have been flocking together many for years, don't initially recognize each other. There's a lot of baa and butting of heads, until eventually, what this professional shearer explained to me, until eventually they settle enough and are near enough to each other to recognize the scent. Apparently, Jesus may have been pointing to a lot more than we think when he referred to us as sheep. There's actually a whole school of social science that studies the flock herd-like behaviors of us humans. In fact, one of those studies is entitled, "We Are Really Sheep in Human Clothing." Turns out that despite our culture's individualism narrative, we, just like our animal cousins, are driven, conscious or not, by the need for what the poet theologian Padre Gotuma calls borders and belonging. In order to flourish, we too need enough of a border, a boundary, a container to feel flocked. And as creation is constantly revealing, flourishing also requires that our borders have enough permeability, enough of an exchange with what is beyond the boundary, without which we become too insular. Stagnation and atrophy ensue. Vitality is lost. We see this dynamic from the cellular level all the way to the ecological. As most of you know, the church, this congregation, is in the process of considering whether to host the Safe Shelter community for the month of May. If you don't know, Safe Shelter is an effort in Asheville that provides temporary shelter for unhoused families who can't stay together in our traditional shelters here, and for unhoused individuals who, for a host of reasons, feel unsafe in those same shelters. Grace hosted a meeting Thursday evening with neighbors from the neighborhood to provide information and answer questions. The fellowship hall was full. While we all had our own unique thoughts and ideas about the proposal, I could not help but notice what we all had in common. We all were wondering in some way, will this disrupt or enhance my valid need for borders and belonging? There were neighbors there who understandably needed to know if this would undo their feeling of being at home where they live and connected to each other. There were church members there who also understandably felt a desire to extend their sense of being flocked at Grace to some unhoused members of our community. I imagine there were also church members there with legitimate ambivalence. And there were current safe shelter participants there who were also wondering about this space, this neighborhood. Could this be a place that would provide a similar sense of feeling flocked that they had felt in the previous location? A place to feel a bit of home without having a house. Let me pause and be clear. I am not here to convince you to say yes to the Safe Shelter community. Of course, as a supporter of Safe Shelter and an up-close witness to its power, I desperately want it to continue somewhere until it can find again a permanent location. And when I drop below my anxiety around that, I know and I trust that it will happen, whether at Grace or somewhere else. All faith communities have to wrestle with when and how to extend themselves. We prayerfully consider our human limits while discerning divine invitation. I've experienced, and I'm guessing you have too, the mistake of trying to do everything and ending up doing nothing, feeling like nothing. As the psalmist reminds us today, God leads us to green pastures, to still waters, to life abundant, not depletion. I would also suggest that, unlike some faith communities, stagnation and atrophy does not seem to be the growing edge of Grace Episcopal. Extending to the easily forgotten and ignored, as I can tell, is in your DNA. I read about some of the early years of this congregation when I think for a couple decades you had no priest, and it was the lay leaders that maintained this community, simultaneously with welcoming the Buncombe County Children's Home as a vital part of this ministry. Whether safe shelter or something else, this essential dimension of discipleship seems a part of your collective understanding of faithfulness. I would like to leave you today with some brief thoughts about the why of it. Why is Jesus always noticing who is on the outs and making a beeline for them? Whether a begging leper, an exploitive tax collector, an about-to-be-stoned woman, an occupying Roman centurion, one gospel story after the other is Jesus noticing who is being called an outsider and bringing them in. I think it's easy for us to simply see this through some lens of morality. But for us, for those of us wanting more and more of our life to reflect the likeness of Christ in the world, to participate and be a part of this body of Christ, to be and claim ourselves as Easter people, to participate in the kingdom of heaven that is now, that is right here. This is way more than a question of morality. I hear the why of it most clearly in Psalm 23, our psalm for today, particularly verse 5. You, God, spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. And there, you, God, anoint my head with oil. And there, you, God, fill me to overflowing. Turns out, God is the great maitre d', always preparing a table at which we can risk encountering those who, with whom we feel discomfort and disconnection. Those who stretch us beyond our current limited understanding of flock, of fellowship, of communion. Maybe it is someone who is unhoused. Maybe it's a housed neighbor with whom we have experienced rupture. The particulars vary for each of us, but the common invitation is to allow ourselves to feel the shepherd's comforting staff at our back, so that in the midst of the unsettledness and the discomfort, our hearts can still open beyond the fear. We can release the smaller versions of ourselves and discover our true Christ in us, us in Christ selves. We can experience what Jesus meant, I think, by losing our lives in order to find them. It's there that we get a taste of our anointing as Christ bearers. It's there that we experience our lives, our bodies, as containers for the ever-flowing and overflowing God. I think that is why Jesus is always pointing to this flock expanding path, because that's where he most easily meets us. He leads us to that place where he is still rising. Of course, there is a lot of grace involved. You all are very well named. We can't effort our way all the way here, but we can take our seat at the table and welcome the holy discomforter to join us, whoever that may be. For that is where we have a chance, despite all outward appearance and assumptions, to catch the scent of our shared humanity, of our shared divinity. May it be so.